When this next guest agrees to join us on a weekly basis, usually it's a Victory Monday, Kenny.
Yeah, most of the times it is, right, with the Buckeyes?
But, you know, on Victory Monday, it's easy to say how great we were. But when you lose a game like they lost the other day, where none of us expected that. I mean, not only are you a 14-point favorite, it's your first game of the season at home, and we expected much, much more. Let's just cut to the chase. Let's bring in Jeff Logan right now. Jeff, how are you today?
JT, I'm doing fine, buddy. And, you know, I think it's important for people to understand at this stage that it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be concerned. But I also think we need to manage our expectations a little bit and understand this is not the end of the world, even though it feels like it is right now.
You know what, though? It's hard to manage expectations when the nation tells you you're the number three team in the country. Now, I'm not so sure I believed it. We wanted to give a little bit more credit to Minnesota, but after what they played, how they played this past weekend, I'm not so sure about that. But everybody's talking about the defense, Jeff, and for the last couple of years, let's face it, Ohio State's defense isn't all that it's always been cracked up to be. So I guess the main question is this. Kerry Combs, is it a question of personnel or is it a question of schemes? How are they giving up 500 yards a game?
Yeah, that's the $1.4 million question. And the reason I say 1.4 is that's what we're paying our defensive coordinator to make sure that we don't get in positions like this. And right now, if you look at Ohio State over the last four games, the first two this season, the last two against Clemson and Alabama, defense is something that we can't be really proud of. And so we questioned in our post-game coverage, we discussed openly, is it scheme? Is it personnel? Mm-hmm. And I think we all agreed that it was scheme at that stage. But I want to measure that a little bit because I went on Sunday and I was able to review some of the big plays that Oregon had. And I wanted to see in slow motion where our guys were lined up and how we reacted to certain circumstances. And there were some personnel issues out there too, execution issues by the individuals out there. So I don't know that we can throw a 100% of the blame on Kerry Combs and the defensive staff, but there are some personnel issues. And when you don't have people in the right position or they're not coached well enough to get in the right position, ultimately it falls on the coach's responsibility.
And that's what I was going to ask you, Jeff, that don't you as coaches then have to find a way to put your team in the best position to win defensively? And if somebody's not doing the job, put somebody else in there. So doesn't that still go back to coaching, either with the scheme or replacing a player with somebody else?
Yeah, I think it does. I think that there's all those questions are going around the Woody Hayes Athletic Center this week. And if you heard Ryan Day in his post-game conference, Ryan Day was very cautious, but he was also very realistic when he was asked this question over and over and over again about Kerry Combs, about the scheme, is that he said it sure looked like, and I'm referring to the plays that went into the boundary, he says it sure looked like the same play over and over and over again, and that's unacceptable, but I'm going to wait until I see the video before I come out and, you know, comment specifically on what happened. And, you know, they got the worst seat in the house sitting down there trying to see what happened. And, you know, those plays into the boundary, we didn't have the personnel lined up right. And then there were also some confusion, I think, by the players in terms of how they should react to certain situations. But that all comes down to coaching, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's amazing to me. You know, we're not talking about that Boise State game when they beat Oklahoma with all the trick plays and everything. You're lining up mano a mano, and I'm going to run this until you can stop me. Kenny made mention of it a little bit earlier. 7.1 yards per carry, they're going right up the middle, Jeff.
Yeah, it's not good right now. If you look at the the total defense, Ohio State is ranked 112th in the country. Oh. Now, you can argue that we've probably had as hard a schedule in terms of those opponents, and the rushing games for both of those teams from a year ago were both pretty good. So, you know, from the quality of opponent standpoint, I don't think we have anything to, you know, hang our head over that we didn't lose to Tulsa and Akron. We beat Minnesota. It wasn't convincing. We got beat by a pretty good, probably better than expected Oregon football team, because I think they quite honestly earned the battle up front. I thought they dominated both sides of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, but they were missing five starters, weren't they, Jeff? And they're traveling across the country. It's a 9 a.m. start for them, right? All the things were in Ohio State's favor at home with a crowd making noise, almost 100,000, and yet Oregon still out-physicaled them, out-coached them, out-played them. That's what's frustrating.
I would agree with you 100%. I think you're spot on there that stadium environment was electric. Like, I haven't seen it that way in a long time. That wasn't a game against the team up north. The fans did their part. There's no question about it. And I think that, the hard part about this, guys, is that the adjustments that we're going to see, and again, you're a 30-some point favorite against Tulsa, and Tulsa almost beat Oklahoma State last weekend. So maybe they're not all that bad in the first place. But I don't know that we're going to know a whole lot in the next 4 weeks, because we play Tulsa, we play Akron, which, oh, by the way, was just introduced as a 7:30 kickoff.
Right.
Are you kidding me? I don't want to work at 7:30 at night against Akron. And then after that, you got Rutgers and Maryland. So, we're not going to – my concern is we're not going to really know how good a football team we have until we go on the road to Indiana and then have Penn State back-to-back in the middle of the season.
Jeff Logan is brought to you by Logan Sports, 1144 South Main in North Canton. Stop in, get yourself some Ohio State gear because you're going to need it if you're going to sit around and rally the troops. Jeff, I want to talk a little bit about this offense because we put up some monster numbers, but the running game wasn't there. Do you really want to go into a game like this? And I know we were coming from behind. Do you want a freshman quarterback putting it up 54 times a game?
Yeah, I don't think you want that kind of a stat when the game is over. But truth be known, we were down by a couple of scores most of the game, and we were forced to have to throw the football to get back into the game because of the limited time. So I think that's a little bit of an anomaly. The biggest problem that I see, guys, was not the fact that we had to abandon the run to try and get back into the game. It's the simple fact that we no longer have that dual threat quarterback, and that's not a criticism of C.J. Stroud. That is a fact. Mm-hmm. He is not that kind of a guy. He's only been the freshman of the week the first 2 weeks in the Big Ten. So if people want to blame C.J. Stroud, you're nuts. This kid is really, really good, but he's not Justin Fields where he's going to beat you running the football with that read option. So we've got to do a better job of blocking. And right now what I've noticed with the first two opponents, they've decided to load the box, take Ohio State out of their running game, and see if C.J. Stroud can beat them. And Minnesota nearly pulled it off, and the Oregon Ducks certainly did.
Was there a reason why we didn't see any Master Teague, especially on those fourth downs?
I think the game has passed him by, to be honest with you. And I hate to say that because I have all the respect in the world of Master Teague. But I think the development of Mayan Williams and the development of Travion Henderson has put those two in the limelight. And those two, I think Tony Alford has made the decision that going forward, he's our guy. These two are the guys we're going to rely on.
To Jeff's point, JT's point, short yardage situation, though, right? I mean, it can't, big back like that, if you need a yard or 2 yards instead of shotgun snap, pitch to the outside, get trapped behind the line of scrimmage. You're a former fullback and a feature back. You did both when you were at Ohio State. Doesn't it make sense when you have a guy that big for short yardage situations? Maybe you have a package for him there?
And I'm not about to tell you he's not going to see the field again. I think there is a spot for him, and I think there will be, as we get into Big Ten play, more opportunities for Master Teague to be part of that offense. But right now, guys, I think it's more of a statement of how good these other two backs look right now in making people miss. And right now, they're putting so many guys in the box that we can't block them all. And so you've got to have somebody that can do that jump cut.
Yeah.
And those two guys are capable of being able to make people miss.
Fair point. Jeff Logan, our guest here on the Kenny and JT Show. Happy to have him breaking down the Buckeyes' tough loss, 35-28. At home to Oregon. And Jeff, I'm just curious about this from the defensive side of things. When I am watching them play defense and I see a former running back, Steel Chambers, at linebacker, when I see a former halfback in DeMario McCall maybe playing some secondary, with all of these 4- and 5-star recruits, I'm saying to myself, wait a second, these are offensive guys you had to make into defensive guys. So should we be concerned that they don't have quality players on defense because they're switching former offensive guys over to play defense?
Now, I think there is some concern about the depth and the readiness of maybe some of those players over there. I think the future is bright. I like our front four that goes actually eight guys deep. I don't think there's any issues there, especially with some of the young defensive ends that we have. JTT played a little bit in that game.
Yep.
But guys, I think it goes all the way back to Raekwon McMillan.
Yep.
But the last time we had a shutdown linebacker.
Thank you.
And and I'm not so sure that I see any of these guys over there right now. And in week number one, I thought Cody Simon showed some flashes, and I think he might be pretty good in the future. Whether or not Tommy Eichenberg's got the ability to be able to run out there with the speed that's in the game right now, those are some of the things that I think there are questions about.
Jeff, I look, and I go by the eye test a lot. I go, man, he looks like an NFL player, right? I put Alabama's games on. That lineman, defensive lineman, looks that linebacker, man, look at him flying to the ball like that. He looks like – I look at that defense, and I go, I don't see anybody that jumps – out, and I go, he's an NFL player, first, second, third round pick. I just don't see it on the defensive side of the ball. Am I wrong? Am I jumping to conclusions too early?
Well, I think you are to a certain degree, because I think Haskell Garrett is one of those guys on the inside. There's no question about it. If you look at the draft boards already, he is one of the highly ranked down linemen from a defensive standpoint.
Where was he Saturday?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. They won the battle at the line of scrimmage. There is no question about it. Their guys outplayed all of our guys up front. And, Haskell Garrett has got to figure out a way to make an impact in that game. And I think if you look at his overall body of work, he is an NFL draft pick in the first round. I think Zach Harrison is another one of those guys that has the future to be that. Beyond that, Jack Sawyer and JTT, I think, are guys for the future. The secondary concerns me, because I don't think we've got anybody back there without Josh Proctor being healthy that we can really rely upon to be the beast that we need to have in that secondary.
Did Seven Banks play, or was he a scratch again, Jeff?
To my knowledge, he was a scratch
again.
I saw Cameron Brown out there,
right. But
I did not see Seven Banks on the field. And I'm concerned. We didn't have the missed tackles in the open field like we had at times last year and against Minnesota in week one. But we certainly – and I thought we challenged their receivers a little bit better than what we did in week one. So that's – I think we're making progress in that secondary. But the run stopping that's got to come up front, that's got to get better.
Yeah, Jeff, you know why they didn't have any missed tackles in the run game? There were holes so wide open there was nobody there to miss the tackle.
Yeah, it might be the case. You might be accurate.
Ryan Day said, it was the same play three times in a row. Nobody set the edge, Jeff. I mean, you see it once. Okay, they got you. Hey, coach, bring the team in. Guys, somebody's got to set the edge. Okay, twice. Okay, let's not let this happen a third time. Three times in one game, Jeff.
Yeah, and Ryan Day talked about that. He said it looked like the same three plays to me over and over and over again, and we got to get better at it, but he was going to wait on the tape, and let's just see what the adjustments are, because I guarantee you Tulsa's trying to figure out a way to come with the same package and, other teams down the way. I mean, if you look at teams like Indiana and Penn State and Michigan State that are going to be, some of that October-November football in Ohio Stadium, we've got to get better.
Hey, the one good thing from this weekend for you, Jeff, your Hoover Vikings beat Louisville 21-0 this past weekend. How about that?
That's awesome. And I was texting with my nephew, Drew, who is a terrific young football player, senior on that team, a captain.
Yep.
And I understand they're actually lining him up and giving Logan the football again, which I think is the right thing to do, especially when you lost your quarterback. I'm really proud of the way Drew is playing, and I know Father Andy is feeling great about the fact that they won that. I tried to explain to Drew, before Jackson became the most hated team on their schedule, for us, when we were playing, it was always Louisville.
Sure, it was.
Great to see them get that win against Louisville.
Yeah, they blanked them 21-0. They're back to 500 at 2-2. And I'll just give you a little hint. This is a team. I think that the future is extremely bright for them. And when you lose your starting quarterback in the way that they did in practice before their first game, to go 2-2, Jeff, in the first 4 weeks to get into now the Federal League, that's pretty impressive with Coach Baum over there.
Well, I hope they do well and continue. You know, obviously, injuries are a part of everything, but I'm proud to see that they've figured out a way to, you know, overcome those challenges that they have, and really proud of the job that Drew is doing out there. And I know that my mom was listening to that game. She's trying to follow as best she can. She's a great fan of this show in the afternoon. She's listening now, and I know she's really, really proud of her grandson.
And we're not going to announce it till tomorrow, Jeff, but the Hoover Vikings coming in at number 8 in Ken's top 10 teams in Stark County this week. How about that?
Absolutely. That's where they should be. And don't give up on the Buckeyes. Don't give up on your Browns. Right. Get down to Logan Sports and get some of that new gear.
Sounds good. Jeff, we always appreciate the time. Great stuff, as always. Be well. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Yeah, he mentioned it, JT. Akron's a 7:30 kickoff. Yeah. Really?
I just saw that, and I was thinking to myself, oh, my Lord, that's going to be one of the longest tailgates in the history of Lane Avenue. And you've got kids coming in from all over the state now, because Akron U's got kids that, let's face it, not everybody that goes to Akron is from Northeast Ohio, but most of them are.
Right.
And this is going to be nuts. To have that game at nighttime makes no sense. I don't understand why they would move that game to 7:30 kick.
I have no idea, JT. I'm thinking that is definitely a nooner. We're talking Akron in.
Saturday, September 25th,
yep.
Fourth game of the year,
yep.
University of Akron at 7:30. Makes no sense.
They're terrible. I know the Buckeyes' defense is one of the worst in all of college football so far, right, with the rankings. But come on. Akron deserves maybe a 1 o'clock at the latest kickoff.
Maybe this is your get-right game.
Wow.
Play it under the lights.
Yeah.
That place will be rocking. You know that.
Yeah, I guess. Well, they got Tulsa this week at 3:30, and then Akron the following week at 7:30. So you got a mid-afternoon game and an under-the-lights game in Columbus for the next two teams that they should beat by at least 4 touchdowns in each game.
Shh, don't say that.
Should. I said should. They should. Not they will, that they should. Yeah, all right. We got a break in right now. We got another hour left of the Kenny and JT show, taking you right up to the Buckeye Roundtable tonight. That should be interesting. Stay tuned for that and more of us.